This was stressful like you wouldn't believe. So the album leaked 3 days before it came out. A lot of people were talking about it, and there was buzz that there was a lot of Matty Healy content. And I was in extreme denial. Me and I was talking to Kate on Instagram about it, and she sent me a text and was like, I'm getting so worried that they're right.
I randomly get a lot of Taylor content on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really interact with it because, as you know, I'm just saying this for our listeners' sake, I like her. But yeah. I'm not a fan necessarily. But TikTok loves to serve it to me, sometimes more than you. So, but for whatever reason, I was not given any of this. So I had no idea. And when I saw that you and Alana had gotten a hotel room to have a listening party, I was very excited for you guys.
Yeah.
And then your text came through that said it was, at that point, you were only a few songs in, but that it was the majority Matty Healy. I was so distressed. I cannot imagine what it's like for everyone else.
Because the first song is Fortnite, which is her song with Post Malone. The concept of the song is essentially, I loved you for a fortnight. So it's like, it's talking about loving someone for a very short amount of time. So we're like, okay, this is not about Joe. It's about Matt. We're not really sure. It was a little unclear. Not a lot of specifics, not a lot of details. So we absorbed the song. We didn't really have that many thoughts, but we went on to the next one, which is the title track. First line of the song is,
you left your typewriter at my apartment.
And we're like, okay, that doesn't really sound like what we know Joe is like. But Alana and I didn't say anything to each other because we just couldn't speak it aloud. We were in denial. We were in extreme denial. But then we got to a point in the song where we couldn't live in denial anymore because she says,
I scratch your head, you fall asleep like a tattooed golden retriever.
This is hell. Number one, I feel like he actually did leave his typewriter at her house. And that is the most. If you want to be the guy who writes your songs on a typewriter, mostly for the story, go ahead and be that guy. Clearly you are. But you're bringing it places.
Traveling with a typewriter?
The only one who's allowed to travel with a typewriter is Meg Ryan's ex in You've Got Mail.
So when she talks about him having tattoos, that's full confirmation. But we still were two songs in, didn't say anything. We got to the third song. It was about him. It ended. We looked at each other and it was over. We were like, what is happening? Because the next song was called Down Bad. So we knew that wasn't about Joe.
Somebody needs to tell me for certain how long they were together.
Okay, so this is what I had to do because we then started to turn. I'm going to be straight up. We started to turn on the whole album because it became, I couldn't listen to it. I could, song after song after song of her talking about she was so in love with him. She wanted to marry him and have kids with him. We couldn't listen to it. We were incensed. It was song after song of the same thing, of her talking about how she wanted to be with him forever. She was so in love with him. This is how what it was always supposed to be and all this stuff.
This is how.
So I had
not
to,
just why,
I had
but
to,
how.
Like, I had to take a step back and be like, what is going on here? And think about what her relationship with him was and figure out. Because I remembered that they were friends prior to when she started dating him. Which, by the way, before this album, I didn't even realize they were even really dating. When they broke up, her team put out a statement that said something to the effect of, they didn't break up, they were never together. I didn't think it was anything resembling where she thought she was marrying him.
I need her to not say that.
So
it's too much.
Apparently what it is that they've known each other and been friends since like 2013. That was when they, I think, met and were like really close friends. And rumors on the street are that they kind of started to maybe date and tried to see how things were going, and then they broke up, and it was kind of a wishy-washy situationship even then, and that maybe went on for over the times in between people, and that what this maybe was her seeing somebody in her life that's been her friend for a long time, and she just got out of this 6-year crappy relationship, and she's thinking, now this person I've known for 10 years, who I've always thought could maybe be something, is going to be something. But it just strains credibility that a 33-year-old smart, intelligent woman would think that Ratty Healy is going to be the person she ends up with for her whole life and is the one. I hadn't read this before listening to the album, but afterwards, I saw that in the CD pamphlet, there was like a prologue that she had written out, and she talks about essentially how she was going through some kind of manic episode. She was not in a right frame of mind. She was clearly going through it to a degree that we have never seen her go through it.
Does it feel to you a little bit like oversharing, maybe?
It's tiptoeing to there only because it feels as though it's gone from this is a universal feeling that everybody can relate to this is like literally what happened to me and here is the story. It feels more personal than she was previously willing to share. But I wonder if she's switched to that because she was unable to do that for, or she felt like she was unable to do that for 6 years straight.
Basically to admit to the world that your feelings and ideas about what it could be with this particular person,
yeah,
especially when nobody knew that it was in that place,
yeah,
is weird.
And that was the feeling we got. And then it was a barrage of never-ending songs about the same thing.
He must really have it, man. He must.
It was nuts.
For her to be down bad, he's got it.
The smallest man who ever lived was about him, which was shocking.
But the thing is, that title of that song, knowing very few of her songs, knowing very little about him other than the fact that he's just generally kind of ick, that song title, the second I read it, I was like, yeah, that describes him. How is it not apparent to her? But there are millions of fans of the band that think he's hot and smart and great. So
that is true.
I don't know.
So Down Bad is number 4. And then So Long London is number 5. And Alana and I took a TO because we had to have a spiritual meditation and think, if So Long London is not about Joe and it's about Maddie, I was not going to be able to continue with life. But thank the damn Lord, it was not about Matt. It was about Joe. It recentered us. Hauntingly beautiful. It was so sad.
So
she was saying goodbye to him and to the city, and it was so freaking good.
And I'm just getting color back into my face. I'm just mad as hell because I loved this.
It was interesting how she would weave those kinds of songs in between all of the other chaos that was going on. And that's what I felt with a lot of, because she peppered in a few other people. I don't know if you've seen any headlines or anything, but she has a couple of other one-offs.
About who?
There's one about Kim.
Who's Kim?
Kardashian.
Oh.
She calls her out by name in the title of the song. It's called Thank You, Amy, but it's Amy
oh,
is spelled.
Oh, I saw that. Yes.
Amy
yes.
is spelled out. And it and the K and the I M are capitalized so that it spells
right.
out Kim. It was really something. She basically goes through and talks about how she's always felt terrorized by her. But at the end of the day, she has to thank her because she wouldn't be who she is now without her.
But when I count the stars, there's a moment of truth that there wouldn't be this if there hadn't been.
She has a couplet that is crazy in the bridge. She says,
and maybe you've reframed it, and in your mind you never beat my spirit black and blue. don't think you've changed much. And so I changed your name and any real defining clues. And one day your kid comes home singing a song that only us two is gonna know is about you. Cause
that's crazy.
Yeah. Travis made it on.
I heard.
Two songs. They were very on the nose. Both of them were very sportsy.
Was she writing with her glitter pen?
Yes. She talked about touchdowns and football, and it was adorable. So High School is the one that's like really about him.
But doesn't that make you nervous? I know it's just a song, but if the feeling she has when she's around him is that high school feeling, doesn't that make you nervous?
No. Yes and no. Because I think that she's specifically talking about the beginning. Everything she's referring to is meeting him. And it's very clear that she's not getting into the thick of it. In these both of these songs, is talking about their spark and meeting. So I think that that's what she's referring to. Like the feeling of the two of them being in the crowd together in that sense. She's not getting into, you know, what it's like in the privacy of them together by themselves. Yeah. And I think why it doesn't make me nervous is because she puts little inside jokes in So High School. She says, are you going to marry, kiss, or kill me? Because there's an interview a long time ago that Travis gave when he was younger about where he does like, you know, fuck, marry, kill, but they don't say fuck in the interview. And he mentions Taylor Swift.
Kill, marry, kiss. It's just a game.
Taylor Swift would be the kiss.
She's like poking fun at him in the song, mentioning that. And she says,
are you gonna marry, kiss, or kill me? It's just a capability. I'm better off for us to.
One of my favorite lines from the song is she says,
do that impression you did of your dad again.
It's a cute little detail that she just throws in. I think is really cute. The bridge of the song is, you knew what you wanted and boy, you got her. I just love that. It doesn't make me nervous because she's in one of them. I don't know if it's this one or the other one. She says, no one's ever had me like you.
That's so sweet. I love that.
Seems like it's easy.
Yes. I really hope so.
It doesn't seem difficult. The songs are simple. So it seems like that's what it is for them. I can't imagine what it must have been like for him to go through all of this. Because seriously, this must have been a lot of conversation. You were in a real relationship with somebody who is doing this.
If even just being in a real relationship with somebody who is that, she's like the most famous person in the world.
Yeah. Which, by the way, she has a song about that. It's my favorite on the album. It's called Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Oh my gosh. The lyrics in this song, it's very blank space. I feel like it's Blank Space's older sister where she's talking about how people see her and who she is and like how the industry has made her tough. Is it a wonder I broke? Let's hear one more joke, then we all could just laugh until I cry.
I was tame, I was gentle, till the circus life made me mean. Don't you worry, folks, we took out all her teeth. Who's afraid of little old me? Well, you should.
Like what a circus person would say about an act.
Fuck, dude.
The bridge is, so tell me everything is not about me, but what if it is? Then say they didn't do it to hurt me, but what if they did?
I wanna snarl and show you just how disturbed this has made me. You wouldn't last an hour and be asylum.
I believe that, actually.
When I heard that, I thought about all the times you and I have talked about how I could not imagine being half as famous as even someone a fraction as famous as she is would be. So all the kids can sneak into my house with all the cobweb.
I'm always drunk on my own tears. Isn't that what they all say? That'll sue you if you step on my lawn. That I'm fearsome and I'm wretched and I'm wrong.
This is such a good song. But the real topper, what I've been most excited to tell you, the final song of the album was about Jake Gyllenhaal.
What?
The final song, The Manuscript, was about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Is it good or bad?
It's about Jake and the All Too Well process and how she had redone that song and the film and everything that went, like what it was like to kind of go through all of that again. It's not a long song. I'm basically going to read you the whole thing because I think you need to hear everything because it's...
Shouldn't we just listen to it?
I was going to suggest that. I'm just going to play it. Are you ready?
I am.
The only thing that's left is the manuscript. One last souvenir from my trip to your shores. Now and then I reread the manuscript. But the story isn't mine anymore.
It's going to take me some time to absorb that. What do you think about that?
So first time I heard it, I did not make any connections to what it was about because it was 4:30 in the morning when I heard it the first time. So, and I had just heard 30 other songs. So, but then I saw somebody mention that it was about All Too Well. And so I re-listened to it and I was like, holy shit. Because the beginning conversation of that she's going back and forth, that is supposedly a conversation they had.
Said I'm not a donor, but I'd give you my heart if you needed it. She rolled her eyes and said, you're a professional. He said, no, just a good Samaritan.
It's the two of them. It immediately took me back to what it was like to listen to all those songs on Red and hear him talk. So it was 100%. It's Jake. It's all about Jake.
Oh, there's no question.
Every bit more information we get about that time makes it clearer to me why it had such a profound effect on her and why we got a whole album about their relationship.
Yeah. And why it's something that when she talks about making the film, what is that line? Is this something about revisiting it?
To write what you know, looking backwards might be the only way to move forward.
Yeah. It almost feels like, and I don't want to put too much weight on this,
yeah,
but it almost still a nagging feeling or something about that she still carried with her.
Right. Or even if she didn't realize that there was, when she decided that she wanted to make it, it was in the process of making it that she realized that there was still something, yeah, that was there to let go of.
And that going back through that was what allowed her to fully close it.
Yeah, completely let it go. She always talks about how when she put it on the album, it was a song that she wanted to put on there and that it was, she needed to write it. It was her favorite. And then when she put it out, the fans made it what it is and that it has become something else and it's no longer what it originally meant to her. And so I think that by the end of this song is that's what she's saying, that, you know, now she rereads the manuscript. Like, she sings All Too Well all the time now, but it doesn't mean the same thing that it meant when she wrote it, because it has become something else. And why I think she ended the whole album with this. And she even put that line at the end of her post talking about the whole album is because she sees a lot of her songs that way, because she goes through all of these things. She pours her heart into these songs. She writes them and then she puts them out into the world and they become something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become part for everybody else. And she'll tour them fans will cling on to one that she never thought they would. And then that becomes a single, or she does something special with it. And then it takes on a life of their own after the fact.
It's almost a tiny bit like, I guess I just have girls on the mind.
I know, you're,
it's,
yeah,
almost a little bit like Hannah saying how she's sick of having, not that Taylor's sick of it, but that she's sick of having experiences for everybody else's,
yeah,
sake.
It's almost like Taylor's doing the successful version of what Hannah was wanting to,
yeah,
do.
And I guess the Maddie stuff she just had to get out.
Yeah. She did say that on tour when she announced this, a couple of shows after she announced the album, she's talked about how for the first time in a long time, she felt like she actually needed to make it, that it was instead of it just being, you know, songwriting is a part of her everyday life, she loves doing it, that this was something she was like writing to process it. And I mean, I think it's clear that is what she was doing.
I wasn't planning to tell you this yet, but the time feels like it only makes sense for me to tell you that I have been listening to Taylor.
You have?
Yeah. I wanted to surprise you when I had a much fuller understanding of all her music.
Uh-huh.
But I have been listening to, it started with, it actually almost happened by accident. I never, ever listened to the radio, but one day I heard Cruel Summer two times in the span of almost one back to back.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to listen to the album. And I knew it wasn't like, if you're going to start, it's like Lover is not
you
the
started
album
to with start Lover. With. What?
Yeah, I know. I know. But I did. I was just like, I'm just going to do it. And so, and I listened to it all the way through a few times. And then I listened to Midnights a few times, which again, I know is like not this, like, wow. I'm not going in the right order. But enough that I know the songs now. And
wow.
I was planning to go through at least three more albums before I told you, but it just feels like now is the time.
Wow.
I knew you would be really happy.
That's awesome. So what do you have any standouts?
I do, but I'm not ready to share yet. Once I've listened to like many albums, then I'll be prepared to give my favorites on each.
Wow. Cruel Summer. You're lucky that you got the new cycle of singles. I mean, because Lover was presented to us with me and with You Need to Calm Down. So Cruel Summer would not have been the one to hook you. On the original.
Oh, no. Oh, right. And like, let me tell you something. You Need to Calm Down would never have gotten me there. Okay? We wouldn't
be
there.
Are you sure? Me wouldn't have been the one to get you?
Holy shit.
This is a big one to get into, for sure. It's a lot. There's a lot in here.
Do you think I should listen to this one next, or should I go back?
Yeah, go for it. No, you might as well. Because I don't think Lover not being a good one to start with. There's no real reason other than that there's a lot like maybe not to like on Lover. So that would be maybe the reason that I would not recommend that someone start with Lover. Actually, Midnights is a good one to start with. But other than that, there's no real, you don't have to go in any kind of order because they're all so different. There's no reason to go in any kind of, so you could go into this one because then you'll be able to understand what people are talking about now while everyone's talking about it. And that's part of the fun anyway.